Financial development was extremely slow in 19th century Mexico, and this had a very negative effect on manufacturing growth and overall economic development. Stephen Haber has done a fair amount of work on 19th century Mexico, and he shows that there were zero chartered banks until 1863. Now, this is more than 40 years after independence from Spain. And then from 1863 until the 1880s, there was only one chartered bank. So why was there so little financial development in Mexico? He argues that the big problem is property rights and the fact that property rights weren't enforced. Contracts were extremely hard to enforce. So if you made someone a loan and then they didn't pay you back, there was no way to take it to the judiciary and get them to pay up. There was also no incentive to create chartered banks because you would have these deposits, these reserves, that became government targets in the sense that they might be expropriated by a cash-starved government. A large problem in Mexico at the time also was the lack of loanable funds for private investment. Since silver was used as the domestic currency, much of private lending was dependent on the ups and downs of the mining industry, and there were very few individuals wealthy enough to make large loans to the private sector. There was only about 20 to 25 merchant houses in the post-independence period that could provide such loans, and most of their business was with the government. So who did these merchant houses tend to lend their money to? Well, mostly to the federal government. And this was a highly risky endeavor because the government was strapped for cash almost all of the time. Annual interest rates on government securities was often more than 100% per year. When merchant houses made private sector loans, they tended to be for short periods of time, and these loans went to relatives, friends, or people they had worked with for many years. The interest rates on these loans also was quite high. Annualized rates on short-term loans averaged between 12 to 40%, but sometimes they reached as high as 10% per month. These high interest rates, of course, were not very good for encouraging investment in the new country. Stephen Haber has an interesting study of textile manufacturing in U.S., Brazil, and Mexico in the 19th century. And he chooses the textile sector because it's unique in that the only real obstacle to growth was a lack of access to capital markets. He argues that the textile sector didn't have a lot of the obstacles that other sectors did. For instance, you didn't need to produce at a really large scale to be economically efficient. There were few barriers to entry. There weren't significant patents that limited who could enter the field. Raw material like cotton was readily available, and there was little product differentiation, so it was easy to get into the business. Textile owners had almost no access to impersonal finance in the 19th century, because for most of this period, Mexico had no banks and no stock exchange. So if they wanted to get loans, they needed to do so through kinship networks, basically through relatives, friends, colleagues. Equity financing through the creation of a joint stock company was virtually unknown throughout this period. Haber found that from the 1830s to the late 1870s, no textile firms were organized as joint stock companies. And even as late as 1889, in a survey of the industry, he found only 5 joint stock companies out of 107 enterprises operating 115 mills, and none of those companies were publicly traded. Now, contrasting this to the U.S., Haber notes that firms could get loans from commercial banks, savings banks, trust companies, insurance companies, mercantile houses, manufacturing concerns, including from other textile mills, and private individuals. In 1835, there were 14 different textile manufacturers that were listed with the Boston Stock Exchange, and this number increased to 40 by 1865. So what was the result in terms of differential output? Well, the Mexican textile industry was tiny compared to the U.S. Haber measures output by spindles, so the number of spindles that are used in each factory, and he finds that by 1890, Mexico was only putting out 0.03% of the U.S. output. Industry was also 3 to 4 times more concentrated than it was in the U.S. He constructs something called the standard 4-firm concentration ratio. What this is, it's the percentage of the market controlled by the 4 largest firms. So in Mexico, there's much more concentration than there was in the U.S., and that is because only certain firms could get access to any kind of financing, whereas in the U.S., smaller firms had the option, the ability, to access bank financing. If you're interested in reading more on this topic, here are some of the sources that I used in the video. Stephen Haber's 2005 working paper, Why Institutions Matter, Banking and Economic Growth in Mexico. Carlos Marical, Obstacles to Development of Capital Markets in 19th Century Mexico, and another one by Stephen Haber called Industrial Concentration in the Capital Markets, a Comparative Study of Brazil, Mexico, and the United States.